Let's turn together in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 1, continuing our series. Galatians chapter 1. And today we're going to be focusing particularly on verses 6 through verse 9. Galatians chapter 1, that's found on page 1154. We'll start at verse 3, but our text begins in verse 6. So Galatians 1, verse 3, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at our text, verses 6 through 9, and we pray for the blessing of our God and the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, do you know how to tell the difference between something that is real and authentic and that which is fake, a knockoff? For example, if you are looking to buy a new Rolex watch, would you go to a street vendor in New York City who opens up his coat and says, "Here, I got a Rolex watch for you right here"? Would you know how to tell the difference between what is true and what is fake? Or perhaps if you're looking for a new purse and you go to the thrift store and you see their selection, do you know how to tell which one is true, which one is authentic, a brand name, or that which is a Chinese knockoff? Even my own children know how to tell the distinction between real Lego and fake Lego, because that which is real is of value. It has lasting worth. But that which is fake is empty, is vain, is worthless. The same applies to the gospel. Do you know how to tell the difference between the true, real, authentic gospel and that which is fake, that which is false, that which is a knockoff and has no value? This morning, as we return to Galatians, we find the core of this letter is here presented before us. And the core issue that Paul is addressing in this letter is this: know the gospel. Don't be deceived. Don't be distracted. Know the gospel. So we look at this theme. Jesus Christ defends the real gospel by warning his people against every other gospel. It's Jesus Christ defending his people by asserting, by impressing upon them, you need to know, to receive, to believe the true gospel and reject everything else that is fake. In our first point, then, we consider the author of the true gospel, who it originates with and who authorizes it. Just as if you were looking at a new purse, you would inspect the tag on the merchandise to see whether or not it is authentic. So in our first point, we're going to look at the tag on the gospel. Who made it? Where does it come from? As you may remember, the word gospel simply means good news. The gospel is the message of salvation. It's a good word. But who has declared this word to the church? Who has delivered the good news to us? Verse 6 begins in the negative, where Paul says, I'm astounded. He's astonished, amazed, that they are so quickly deserting him who called the church in the grace of Christ, and are turning to a different gospel. To put this sentence, this verse in the positive, the message of the grace-filled gospel comes to us from the Father who has called you in the grace of Jesus Christ. Where does the gospel come from? It comes from the Father who calls you in the grace of Jesus Christ. Although we know Jesus as Hebrew is presented, Jesus is the Word of God, the way in which the Father speaks to us. Our focus in this particular verse is that it is the Father who calls you by Jesus, by His Son, and speaks to you through His Son. It matters who delivers the gospel. As Paul will state again in 1 verse 11, the gospel that is preached is not man's gospel. So to desert the true gospel is to desert the Father who has called you in Jesus Christ. To turn away from the true gospel is to turn away from a handwritten letter from God the Father. It is to reject the Father Himself. To contrast this point, the false gospel can have a whole spectrum of people who deliver it. The false gospel has been and is to this day proclaimed and carried by all sorts of people. The false gospel had been proclaimed to the churches here in Galatia by men who elevated themselves and appointed themselves as super apostles. But Paul says to them in verses 8 and 9, don't listen to them simply because they call themselves an apostle. Don't believe a person who is self-appointed. Weigh their words. If someone claims to be someone really important, don't just simply naively accept every message that they proclaim. Because the fact is, people claim to be someone really important all the time. But Paul says, even if one of my fellow apostles, even if one of the 12 original disciples were to come to you and to present to you, to preach to you something contrary to what you have received, don't listen to them. Even if I, Paul, return to you and proclaim a message contrary to the one I've already proclaimed to you, in contrast or contradiction to the gospel of the Father that has been presented through Jesus Christ, even if I come back and try to convince you of something else, don't listen to me. Even if an angel robed in heavenly splendor, shining in all its glory, were to preach something contrary to the one true gospel that you have already received, shut your ears. Don't listen. To put it in today's age, even if the most famous and well-liked pastors of the past were to appear before you, speaking eloquently, if you pick up a book from John Calvin or R.C. Sproul and you read something in it that contradicts the one true gospel, don't listen to it. Don't align with men over God. Paul is calling the Galatian Christians to be more like the Bereans of Acts chapter 17. You remember the Bereans in Acts 17? They heard the preaching, hauled out their Bibles, and tested the word. is what they're saying, is what these men are proclaiming, consistent with the Scriptures. I could even say today, if you ever hear from this pulpit a so-called sermon that contradicts the one true gospel from the Father through Jesus Christ, take your family and run for the doors. There is only one true author, only one true gospel. It is the gospel of the Father who called you in the grace of Jesus Christ. The standard for truth is not the human messenger, but the divine messenger. The gospel is good news because it is the message of salvation from God Himself. 1 Thessalonians 2 puts it this way: the good news is the gospel of God. What makes the gospel good news? It's God's message to His people. As we saw last week, Paul's apostleship is not from man, it's from God. So also, the gospel that Paul proclaimed is not man's message. It wasn't even his message. He was a herald who proclaimed the good news from God. Well, now that we have considered the author of the gospel, in our second point, we consider the content of this gospel. How can we tell the difference between what is the true gospel and what is a false gospel? And what's the big deal here anyways? Why is it so important to distinguish the one true gospel from every other gospel? Or to ask another way, do we have multiple options? Are there many different gospels that could be believed? Do all roads lead to the top of the mountain? Is every other religion on the face of this earth the same as Christianity? Can your truth be of same lasting value as my truth and the truth? Surely not. There's only one truth and there's only one gospel. And the one gospel that they had received remains the only good news that can be found. So here in the churches of Galatia, there were some teachers who had come to them who were proclaiming a separate, alternative, maligned version of the gospel. There were men who had come calling themselves super apostles. Later on, we'll read that they claimed to have come from James or having come from the church in Jerusalem. They claimed to speak on the authority of the apostles. But what they were doing, what these super apostles were doing, is they were twisting, they were maligning, they were perverting the truth. They were preaching another gospel. Paul puts it this way in verse 6. You are turning to a different gospel. The message that these Judaizers, these super apostles were preaching, their gospel is not just an addendum. It's not clarifying some points of the gospel. It is an altogether gospel that is different. And in fact, it's no gospel at all, Paul says. Verse 7, not that there even is another gospel. When it comes to the gospel, you don't have option A, option B, or option C. You have one true gospel, and everything else is an aberration, is a malignment, is a distortion, verse 7 says. Distorted. Hear the word distort. It means to pervert, to twist, to corrupt. What these other super apostles were doing is they were taking something that was straight and true and bending it and twisting it and curving it so that it no longer was the truth at all. And what had happened in the Galatian churches is that they were all too happy to hear these super apostles, and they would just listen and go along with whatever they heard. They had, as we read in Revelation forsaken their true love. The church in Galatia was becoming a congregation of deserters. And in fact, Paul was astonished by this. He says this in verse 6, I am amazed, I'm astonished. What's he astonished at? I am amazed at how quickly you have left. How quickly you have deserted the one true gospel. Paul marvels at their willingness to sell what was authentic and trade it for something that was a knockoff. Fake. How fickle these Galatian believers were. And Paul says, you have done this so quickly. The time period that we're talking about here is less than a year. This is less than a year that Paul has stood in those congregations and preached the one true gospel. And less than a year later, they were filled. These congregations were filled with heresy. Paul's footprints were still visible in the sand, and they had neglected the gospel and embraced the teaching of men. Paul was amazed at their immaturity and their inability to discern. In some ways, we could put it like this. Paul is saying, I've taught you better than this. What are you doing? Why would you reject? Why would you give up the grace-filled gospel from God the Father, through Jesus Christ? Why would you give that up and accept the teaching of men? Another gospel which is no good news at all. Why would you give away what is priceless in order to buy something that was fake and worthless? Trading a real Rolex for a knockoff. Who does that? These false teachers were throwing the church into chaos and confusion, distorting the truth, twisting what was straight, muddying what was clear. And what Paul is impressing upon these believers is that you need to answer these questions. Choosing between the one true gospel and every other teaching of man, we need to make a distinction. Do Gentiles need to become like Jews in the flesh before they can be a Christian? That was the issue. The Judaizers were teaching, in order to be a good Christian, the Gentiles have to become like the Jews. Do we begin by grace, but continue by our works? Do members of Christ need to keep the Old Testament ceremonial law in order to be welcomed and identified as God's people? Does the gospel depend on God's work and man's effort and merit? Is that how we are saved? Do you know the difference between the one true gospel and every other false gospel that we hear? Because of the fact of the matter is this: every other gospel is no gospel at all. Remember, the word gospel means good news. You have the one true gospel, which is good news. Because the good news of the gospel is simply this: that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ's work alone. Our salvation is based on the merits, on the righteousness, on the works of Jesus Christ and Him alone. Not you, not your works, not your effort. What makes the good news, is that salvation is a work of our God who saves us. This truth of the gospel must be preserved, understood, and kept unstained and untwisted. Because the content of the true gospel is at stake. As soon as you start inserting man into the equation of the gospel, you have perverted, you have twisted, you have made the gospel void and null. Because you have put man in the position where it's our works that make the difference. And there's nothing good news in that. So Paul makes it shockingly clear. Paul is not pulling punches. He is hitting this, and he is hitting it hard. You need to distinguish between the true gospel of being saved by God the Father through the merit of Jesus Christ, chosen by the Father, saved through the works and person of Jesus Christ, that true gospel, and every other gospel, every other teaching that you can find on the face of this world. What remains in our final point then is the warning, which is really a curse and condemnation pronounced on those who are teaching false gospel, false, where there is no good news at all. A warning affixed to the clarity of the gospel. As it was for the church in Ephesus, as we read from the book of Revelation, they had forsaken their one true love. It would be the shocking nature that Paul is impressing here, that how quickly they have left. And he's amazed at this. It would be like a newlywed couple where the wife on their honeymoon forsakes her husband and leaves. I mean, that's the shocking nature of how quickly they have left their true love. And for those who leave, those who pervert, Paul has a very solemn warning. Paul says to the churches, those who declare these false truths, verse 8, if anyone preaches another gospel, if someone tries to declare something contrary to the one that has been proclaimed to you, let him be accursed. And in case you missed it in verse 8, he says the same thing in verse 9. I'm saying it again. If anyone preaches to you a gospel contrary to the one that you have received, let him be accursed. Now, this is one of the few words that we have carried over into the English language, anathema. That's the word of the Greek here, anathema. Doomed to destruction. The Old Testament concept was haran. It's that ban that was pronounced on the Canaanite idols and their possessions so that they were brought outside of the camp and burned with fire, devoted to destruction. If anyone comes to you and preaches something contrary to the truth of the one true gospel, if they start declaring heresy, let them be accursed, cursed by God. Now, this first level of application is a warning to every pastor. Do not mess with the gospel. Don't get this wrong. There is no wiggle room here. There's no room for various interpretations in this doctrine. If you get this wrong, you are cursed by God, because you are leading the church of Christ astray. You are really a wolf devouring the sheep. The gracious nature of the gospel, the good news, has to be protected, preserved at all costs. It is singular in its importance. But it's not just a warning to preachers. It is a warning to the congregation. You see, as a congregation, we all have itching ears, and we like our ears to be, we like to hear what we want. Every person, we like to be soothed. We don't want the hard hammer of the gospel crushing us in our human expectations, crushing any hope of trusting in ourselves. We don't like the sword of the Spirit piercing us to the heart week after. Tell me something soothing. I want to go home feeling good about myself. As a congregation, we all have that. We want to feel good about ourselves, about our ability, about our works. But the truth of the gospel remains has to remain before us. It's not politically correct. It's not politically correct to say that there is one truth, that there is one way to the Father, that there is one name under heaven by which we can be saved. But the fact remains, every other teaching, every other so-called gospel is no good news at all. Because every other religion, every other heresy perverts the only way in which we can be saved. Because there's no hope, there's no good news found in the teachings of man. More than that, every other false teacher and their teaching is accursed from God. Every false prophet stands condemned when they pervert what God has so clearly revealed. To conclude, there are many false gospels in the church throughout history and even in the churches today. Many so-called gospels which really are no gospel at all. For example, prosperity gospel. It has the word gospel in its name, but prosperity gospel is no gospel. But also tradition gospel. The teachings in the church where tradition, well, we've always done it this way, takes the place of the gospel. Another one is easy believism gospel. Another one, family gospel, where your family takes the place of the gospel. A fifth one, purpose-driven gospel. Very popular a few years ago. One today, feelings gospel. How I feel determines what is true. That's not the gospel, and it's not true. Even morality gospel, where what I do makes me right with God. These are all perversions of the truth. Anything that puts our works in the equation when it comes to our salvation. Anything that adds to the gospel of grace. Let that teacher and that teaching be anathema, be cursed. So today we've seen that Jesus Christ defends the real gospel by warning his people about all others. So let us, congregation, return to our first love. Let us never distort or malign this sacred truth. Titus 3 puts it like this, three little words, the gospel in a nutshell, he saved us. Ephesians 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself, not of your works, so that you can't boast. Saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. Therefore, the gospel remains good news. And God gets all the glory. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful reminder and also challenging call. May we not be distracted. May the truth of the gospel never be perverted in this place or in our hearts. But may the good news delivered by your hand through Jesus Christ of salvation by your grace alone always be impressed upon us and before our eyes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response is 271. 271. We're going to stand and sing together, "Blessed Jesus, at your word, we have gathered all to hear you." 271, let's stand and sing.